Well, yeah, fun.
Very good.
It's been my privilege to share the Christmas message with you for quite a few years now. And in December 19 and in December 20, we thought each had been a very difficult year. But who would ever have thought that 2021 was going to be what it's been? Now, over the years, we've talked about the worldly trappings of Christmas and the theology of some well-known carols, but never before have we had a situation like this. Would anyone have ever imagined that a government parliamentary leader would call the Prime Minister the Grinch that stole Christmas? This year has been filled with pain, with trauma, with anxiety, sickness, death, and divisiveness on levels not even ever considered possible in the past. For some of us, this has been and still remains very close to home. Never before has this country been so divided and so fearful of the unknown. This year, I found myself thinking, saying, and doing things I would never have dreamed possible even a year ago. But never before have I sensed the presence of the Lord every day as I do now. Never before has my desire to be close to Him been as strong and persistent as it is now. However challenging our circumstances become, however difficult it becomes to live our lives as we believe they should be lived, whatever each one of us feels about the issues that are swarming around us, we must never, ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is sovereign over all the affairs of man, regardless of whether you or I think our country's systems and policies are good, bad, or indifferent. He is truly Lord of all. And in the words of that very popular phrase, He is the reason for the season. So just encourage your hearts as I read to you the Passion Translation of Romans 12, verses 11 and 12. It says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Our truly good news and the true focus of our hearts and minds at Christmas is in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And I think you should sing this with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace is He. We can't really escape thinking about the circumstances around Jesus' birth, the event that determined the course of history. Joseph and Mary were poor people. They were obedient to God, and they were also being obedient to the government authorities, traveling across country to be enrolled in the Roman census. The Magi, these wise men, were probably very rich, influential, scholars, intellectuals, as I said, free to travel around in comfort. The shepherds were actually considered very lowly. Yet it was them that the angel of the Lord appeared to. And there was also the cruel, manipulative, political man, Herod. And a few days after Jesus' birth, we read of Simeon and Anna, two God-fearing, devout, elderly people. As they prayed in the temple seeking the Lord, they were privileged to witness the arrival of God's Messiah. So this is Christmas, the arrival of the one who is the fulfillment of all God's promises to his people. But let's not forget that Christmas is actually a rugged message that demands a heart response, a deep heart response. It's a story about a young couple who undertook miles of walking to register in the Roman census while she was 9 months pregnant. Now, you mums will know what that feels like. When there was absolutely nowhere else for them to stay except among the animals, this little baby, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, humbled himself to be born in a barn. This is a story that led rich and influential intellectuals to travel hundreds and possibly thousands of miles across land to see a baby they believed had a very special destiny, and one they also clearly believed worthy of receiving extravagantly expensive gifts. This is a story of shepherds who had a divine encounter with the angels of heaven and who dropped everything to go and find this baby and worship him. In all likelihood, these shepherds were the ones assigned to care for the lambs that were specially bred for their sacrifices. Now just think about that for a minute, the imagery there. Jesus, the Lamb of God, sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. But this is also the story of a cruel, sadistic megalomaniac who was so threatened by the thought of a rival that he had no hesitation in slaughtering hundreds of little boys, dozens of little boys, to make sure that there was no challenge to his power. This is no soppy, sweet, cute baby story. This is a gutsy story. But it's also a love story. A love story of a passionate, loving God who did the only thing possible to prove once and for all that he's desperate for a deep and loving relationship with his beloved people. He sent his one and only, one of a kind, no other like him, his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ. He was born to reconcile man to God, to restore that wonderful relationship first established in the Garden of Eden. There isn't time to go in detail through the wonderful imagery and the specifics of Jesus' birth, where it was, when it was, who was there, and why. I've already briefly mentioned the shepherds, and I would like to take a brief look at the Magi's gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're not told how many wise men there are. Legends have added their names even, telling us that there are three. But we don't know either how many gifts there were. We just know there were three kinds of gifts. Now, we are all aware that gold is probably the most highly precious, valued precious gold. I'm sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. The most highly valued precious metal. And that its splendor and its richness are associated with royalty. So here is a declaration that a king is born, a sovereign, one destined to rule and reign in supremacy. And many, many times in the Old Testament, we read of the Lord declared to be sovereign. Lord, Psalm 71:16, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. And in Isaiah 40, verse 10, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. Isaiah 61. So as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Gold. Then the frankincense. Now we've sung about the frankincense this morning. And that verse, frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. And it's a nice little rhythm, a lovely old-fashioned endless phrase saying, the presence of incense is evident that God is present. This fragrant tree resin was regularly used as incense in Jewish rituals and in other religious ceremonies of the Middle East as part of their worship. The inclusion then of frankincense in the Magi's gift is a clear acknowledgement that this baby is more than just another baby boy. This baby is God in human flesh. This God, the creator of the universe, incarnate in human flesh. And we know that very well-known passage in Philippians 2 from verse 6 to 8. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And that brings us to the myrrh, which is another fragrant resin. And again, in that carol we sang, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. The use of myrrh, obviously, is associated with burials and the anointing of the bodies for burial. Here, then, is a very, very clear reference to the actual reason Jesus was born. He was born to die. And as I just read in Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that Messiah would die for the sins of the world. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the sacrificial lamb who would die for the sins of the world. So let's be careful to remember that the Christmas story truly is a demanding story. It demands a response that acknowledges the birth of a king, the presence of God, and death that brings us life. It is a love story, but a love story with a huge difference. This is a magnificent story of a love so powerful that we skip over its true message at our peril. Just recently, I heard a preacher say that the most terrifying statement anyone can hear is that God is good. It's terrifying because you and I are not good. We can't stand before God in our own righteousness. We need a Saviour. It's terrifying because without our Saviour, we are destined to spend eternity in eternal torment and torture, separated from God's holy and good presence. This is why Christmas is the time to really celebrate. Because as we sang in Isaiah 9, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father God's pure love for his people compels him to judge sin and condemn sinners to hell. But his passionate love compels him to provide a means of escape from that punishment, a means of rescue, of salvation from the consequences that our sin and rebellion justly deserve. In his outrageous and extravagant grace and mercy, our passionately loving Creator has provided us with that salvation by coming to earth as a human baby. He grew up fully human, showing people who God truly is, showing the world the intensity of God's love for his people. His life also sadly showed all too clearly the corruption and evil of wicked men. Yet the Lord remained faithful to his covenant with Father to die for the sins of the world. This Jesus, born in the stable in Bethlehem, willingly died a brutal, barbarous death in order to satisfy the wrath of God against sin and wickedness. Those gifts from the Magi tell the story. He is a king. He is our sovereign Lord God, giving his life for the salvation of mankind. That surely is a reason to celebrate. I celebrate the fact that God himself paid the price for my sin, that he was willing to suffer and die so that I don't need to. We celebrate salvation freely offered to every single person who is willing to repent and call on the mercy of the Lord. We celebrate true forgiveness and genuine freedom that only Jesus can give. We celebrate the pure love of God that offers true life. And herein lies the invitation, the open invitation to every single person alive to accept this magnificent gift of true freedom, total forgiveness, and fullness of life. The only criterion is that you be a human being. Accept the wonderful gift of God's Son, the gift of forgiveness, true freedom, and true life. That's the gift of Christmas. And we sang verse 3 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, Hail the Son of Righteousness, Light and Life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus was born to reconcile humans to their creator, to raise the sons of earth, to give them a second chance, a second birth. To each and every one of us, we are given a second chance. He came to earth in human form as a flesh and blood man to give us true freedom. Now that truly is a powerful, gutsy, demanding message. Jesus came to earth, flesh and blood man, and the story is yours and all mine to accept or to reject. But what's wonderful is that the Christmas story is only the beginning. Jesus wants to work out this glorious freedom in the healing and restoration of the inner man. Remember we sang, risen with healing in his wings. The Gospel of Luke records Jesus' declaration of his purpose in the words of Isaiah 61. And this is what the continuation of the story is, as we know. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There is huge comfort in those promises. Maybe we carry a yoke or a burden of guilt, of doubt, lack of forgiveness, grief. Yet the message to each one of us from the baby of Bethlehem is, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is true freedom and release from any burden at all. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And the prophet, the apostle Peter says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. There is no concern, no anxiety, no burden of any kind that Jesus cannot lift from your heart. Jesus was born to bring genuine soul-spirit freedom that is the only true freedom. This freedom comes only with acceptance of the truth. It's all centered on Jesus, the baby of Bethlehem, the one born to set man free. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other way to find true peace, true freedom, and true reconciliation with Creator God. And as we read in John's Gospel, if the sun sets you free, you really are free. Sandy's testimony earlier, we know what it's like to be free of that shame and guilt. And again, in the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. That Prince of Peace, Jesus, brings true, deep, unshakable peace that completely passes our understanding. We don't know why we feel so good. We don't know why things are so peaceful and why they're so calm and why I'm not falling apart in pieces. There is free access to our Creator for anyone and everyone who is willing to accept this magnificent gift. It means that you and I could stand before the throne of the Most High God, the Lord God Almighty, and hear him say, come closer, my beloved son. Come closer, my beloved daughter. Come into my presence. This is the true life and the light that he brings. This is the true healing in his wings. And if you want to think of some superlatives, just go ahead. Glorious, magnificent, yippee, yahoo. Let's enjoy the celebration, the time with friends and with family, the gifts and the feasting. Yet all the time, center our focus this Christmas on the birth of the one who gave his life so that we may be free and so that we can enjoy all of those things. As the writer to the Hebrews said in Hebrews 12, we look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. As again, Passion Translation is lovely. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. Let me read that again. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me finish with these blessings from Hebrews and then from Corinthians. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.